Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Rackliff. It is Tuesday, August 15th. Two more shows left of the team previews because on today's show, we are going to talk the Tennessee Titans. Very interesting team. Not quite in transition yet at quarterback. Maybe this is the end of the Ryan Tannehill era. What about wide receiver? Of course, DeAndre Hopkins is in place. Treylon Burks looking to break out. Chig Okonkwo, a very interesting late round tight end. And, of course, Derrick Henry is still there, and as far as I'm concerned, hasn't lost a step yet, getting up there in age. So what's the outlook, though, for Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans? Before I get into that, shout-out to everybody who has been reviewing the podcast. Awesome stuff. And, hey, if you review the podcast on Apple Podcasts, rate it and leave your Twitter handle in the review. You're entered in to win a year of Fantasy Plus over at FTNFantasy.com. We had another lucky winner yesterday. He already hit me up. His name is Sean, and he hit me up, and he's already in, and his subscription is rolling. 1 year for free. I'll do at least another week of this, but the more reviews coming in, the more I'm going to do this. So we could keep going all the way through August, maybe even into the beginning of September. If you want to enter in, review it on Apple Podcasts, plain and simple. Leave your Twitter handle or Instagram. If it is Instagram, just let me know. In the review, rate it, and you're in. Plain and simple. Appreciate everybody who's already entered. You are still entered if you haven't won yet. Also, if you want to just get Fantasy Plus, it's there. You can go to ftnfantasy.com. Use the promo code RATPACK for 10% off, and you're going to get fully updated cheat sheets, rankings, etc. And yes, yesterday, as I was doing all the updates, as soon as I finished, Dalvin Cook and Ezekiel Elliott signed. All the rankings and cheat sheets are reflective of those signings for those two guys, for Breece Hall, for Ramondre Stevenson and everything. So if you want the most current information possible, I got you covered. FTNFantasy.com, and you get that subscription for the entire year. Also wanted to give a quick shout out to the presenting sponsor of the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast, Circa. The Circa Millions, it's registering right now. $1,000 for each entry fee. You can enter up to five times. Register at Circa or the sister properties in Vegas in the contest. If you haven't heard me already talk about it in the previous 30 episodes of this podcast, it's $1 million first place prize for a contest where you pick five NFL games against the spread every single week, any five of your choosing. Very difficult contest, but if you win, you get that $1 million prize. Also, there are prizes for the top 100 and quarterly prizes, and last place gets $100,000, second to last place gets $50,000. You can register at Circa itself or use that proxy service if you're out of state up through September 9th, so a little under a month left to register if you want to get in over at Circa. Okay, so we are going to dive in to the Tennessee Titans, but just a little bit of an update here. So I obviously am not going to cover Dalvin Cook and Ramondre Stevenson on this episode, but as we get later in the week, things are going to open up a little bit more and we can do some other stuff on this podcast. I'm going to talk draft strategy in case you have a draft coming up this weekend, and I will get into like the latest news. So on Thursday, we'll get to like that style podcast. We'll be done the team previews by then. And I promise you, I will get to it. It's plain and simple, though. If you want to see where they're ranked, go to FTNFantasy.com. So the Tennessee Titans have been one of the more successful teams in recent seasons. However, last year was not the most successful year. Finished out at 7-10. Obviously, Mike Vrabel is cemented in as the head coach. Tim Kelly is the offensive coordinator. And it wasn't the best year. I mean, it's still a very well-coached team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But we saw the offense take a little bit of a step back. And I think some of that had to do with the firepower at wide receiver. You know, you can't just lean on Derrick Henry on the offensive side of the ball. And they did take a step, obviously, to remedy that with the addition of DeAndre Hopkins. They lost Robert Woods, and Austin Hooper are also out. In terms of other players they brought in, really it's just rookies. Will Levis competing for the number two job. Tajay Spears, very nice player. I'm going to talk about him when I get to Derrick Henry, and already has looked good in the preseason. They also have rookies Josh Wiley and Colton Dowell on the squad as well. The team was not surprisingly, extremely run-centric last season. They called a designed run 46.5% of the time. That was the fifth highest rate in the league. I don't think that's changing. When you have Derrick Henry, when you have a workhorse like that, a true workhorse, a freak of nature workhorse, a workhorse who can give you 300 carries any given season, then you're going to use that. And when you have a quarterback like Ryan Tannehill, who's not necessarily going to put the team on his back and win games just solely with his arm, you're going to run more often. This is something that does need to be taken on board when we evaluate DeAndre Hopkins and, to a lesser extent, when we evaluate Treylon Burks. Now, they were about mid-pack in terms of rushing yards per play, really low in terms of yards before contact per attempt at just 1.2. That was 25th in the league. And to me, I mean, that's a very interesting stat because if you think about it, how do you contain Derrick Henry? You're not going to fully stop him. Again, he's a freak of nature. With his size and to be able to run as fast as he can, it's outrageous. But how you can contain him is plain and simple, and I think the book has been written on this. Don't let him get to the second level. He's one of the most dangerous running backs in the league if he can get to the second level because he's so big. You know, you'll see him stiff arm in linebackers. It's not like he's just knocking away a little DB. He's so big. He's so hard to bring down, especially once he gets that head of steam. But if you don't let him get to the second level, which isn't not easy to do, but it has been done, that's how you stop him. So it is intriguing that that stat is so low. They did not run a lot of 11 personnel. They were 25th in the league last season at just 52.8%. So whoever is the third wide receiver really doesn't matter that much. If it's Kyle Phillips, if it's Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, whoever it ends up being, doesn't matter that much. There's minimal fantasy value from those guys. The third target in this offense does figure to be Chig Okonkwo. 12 personnel they did run a lot of, and that's good for Chig. They ran it 24.4% of the time. That was the sixth highest rate in the league. Chig is not going to be your traditional blocking tight end. It's just not in his wheelhouse. But he can be a very, very good big slot move tight end option for you. So let's get into the players themselves. And, you know, talking a bunch about Derrick Henry. Well, let's continue to talk a little bit more about Derrick Henry. Over the last couple years, since they really took the training wheels off of him, he has shown that he can be a really throwback running back. We just don't see guys like this who are going to get, you know, carry the ball 350 times. He had 349 in 16 games last year, 378 in 2020. Of course, he was hurt in 2021, but he had 219 through eight games, which is unbelievable. We just don't see running backs in today's era of football like this. He is unique. He's very much a unicorn in that sense. And he is capable. He's not just a move the chains, you know, four yards in a cloud of dust type of running back. He can rip off long runs. In 2020, he had 48 runs of 10 plus, which is pretty ridiculous, but he had 37 last year. So still very, very good. He had 9 100-yard games last season that led the league. He is used heavily at the goal line. 15 goal line carries last season. He's also incredibly good after first contact, 3.60. Big time number right there. Last year as well, the other thing that really made the difference is he had a career year in the passing game. Now, to be fair, 33 catches, for a lot of running backs, you look at that and you're like, eh. But for Henry, in 2020, he had 19. So he's nearly doubling that number. And to his credit, led all running backs in yards per route run. 2.08. So he was efficient with his targets or his routes as well. You put that all together, and he ends up leading the league in touches per game, 23.9. Even though Josh Jacobs had more touches because Henry played one fewer game, Henry had more touches per game than him. So can he do it again at age 29? And I don't really see a reason why he can't. Obviously, the injury in 2021 still lurks in a lot of people's minds, but I view Henry as a back who you can anchor with. Now, if I'm going to anchor with a running back, and right now, as of me recording this, if you were wondering, I do have a tiers cheat sheet that at ftnfantasy.com Remember, promo code Rat Pack for 10% off. But the tiers cheat sheet does indicate who the anchors are. Obviously, the two elite backs in Christian McCaffrey and Austin Ekeler are Bijan Robinson, Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, and Tony Pollard now has slid in now that Ezekiel Elliott is not signed to the Cowboys. Jonathan Taylor is right on the edge. The only other player who I would anchor, so right now we have seven. The possibility is up to nine of them. The only other player would be Josh Jacobs if he comes back. I'm still doing some more research on Taylor and how involved he is and if this ultimately, all the mess that happened was water under the bridge. But more on that later in the week. The point being, I'm willing to anchor with Derrick Henry. And if I do draft an anchor running back early in draft, I do want to protect that asset with a handcuff. I want to ensure that asset. And I want to make sure that I get that handcuff. And how I do this is really simple. If I draft Derrick Henry, I'm going to look to where I have Tajay Spears on my board, and I'm going to move him up two rounds. Plain and simple. Two rounds should give me enough leeway that, you know, I know that other drafters are using different rankings, draft boards, etc., but it still should give me more than enough leeway to get out ahead of those folks because I do want to get that player. So Tajay Spears' value increases if I drafted Derrick Henry. But notice, Elijah Mitchell's doesn't. Joshua Kelly's doesn't. Like the handcuffs of some of those other guys. Tyler Allgeier's doesn't. I just move up the handcuff to make sure that I get him. And likewise, if I had McCaffrey, then Tajay Spears' value doesn't change, right? But in that case, Elijah Mitchell's would. So that's really important there. And yes, it is Tajay Spears for me as the cuff. Hassan Haskins had an ugly off-the-field incident that has yet to be addressed by the team. I don't know what's going to happen there, but this is more a matter of Tajay Spears just looking better in the preseason. Let's move over to Ryan Tannehill. So Tannehill, honestly, his receivers were bad last year, so I'm not going to hold last year necessarily against him. 2,536 passing yards and 13 passing touchdowns in 12 games wasn't his best performance. And a lot of people got burned on him in Superflex, etc. Is what it is. That's going to happen at times. But his receivers last season were designated as open on just 38.8% of his throws. That was the fifth lowest rate among quarterbacks in the NFL. So they did him no favors. And generally speaking, I mean, Tannehill was Tannehill. That was really the big difference. Like his drop rate was really high. 5.5% of his passing attempts were dropped. That's a high rate right there. It was 4.4% in 2020, for example. So a big jump of over a percentage point. That's huge. That adds up. But his average depth of target was about the same. Yards per attempt, about the same. Like he was at 8.2 average depth of target, 7.8 yards per attempt. It was 7.94 and 8.8 in 2020. So not really much has changed. It's just he does not have a particularly good or did not have a particularly good set of receivers. And that could change this year, obviously, having Hopkins and Burks there now as your 1 and 2 plus Chig, who should take a step forward. However, I'd be remiss to not mention Will Levis. There is a world where Ryan Tannehill does not play through the entire season this year as the starter. If this team is obviously not making the playoffs, much like Atlanta we saw last year, they made the move to Ridder over the last 4 weeks of the season. We could see Tennessee do the very same thing at some point with Will Levis. And while he's competing with Malik Willis for the number two job, I do think he ultimately earns that number two job for this team. Obviously, Hopkins is in place, and he is the, you know, he's north of 30. He's not quite the player he was earlier in his career. However, he has that name brand cachet that people will recognize for fantasy purposes. The challenge that we're going to run into is, again, not quite the same players. Not, you know, he's still pretty good, but not quite the same player he was early. And it is extremely run-heavy offense. So for me, at best, I could view him as a back-end wide receiver 2, maybe front-end wide receiver 3. In industry drafts, I'm not quite getting him go as early as I think he'll go in some of your home league drafts. He very well could be drafted as a top 20 wide receiver just because people recognize the name. So maybe Treylon Burks offers better value. You don't have to draft him until the beginning of wide receiver 4 territory. And we saw him really surge down the stretch. Full-time, you know, he was banged up earlier in the season, got out there full-time in week 10, had a 100-yard game in week 11, so showed us a little bit of the ceiling. 1.75 yards per route run was rock solid. and did play primarily as a perimeter guy, though he can move into the slot. He played in the slot 21% of the time, so he can move around the formation. What I like about Burks is the same thing that you kind of like about who he's largely replacing in the offense, A.J. Brown. Big body guy who can get after it after the catch. The yards after catch last season, very solid. 5.4 yards after catch per reception in 2022. That was 13th among wide receivers. So solid right there. Chigakonkwo is a very interesting name if you happen to go late tight end. He was exceedingly efficient last season. 2.61 yards per route run. Led the position ahead of Travis Kelce, 2.23. Ahead of Mark Andrews, 1.95. Also, very good after catch. 7.8 yards after catch per reception. Now, he didn't have a massive workload. He had 32 catches last year, but still, he does not play quite like a tight end. And he moves around the formation 44% in line, 35% in the slot, 14% out wide, 7% in the backfield, and doesn't block just 7% of the time he stayed in to block last year. So if you're looking for upside in the late rounds, which is hard to find a tight end, Chigakonkwo is a player who I'd be looking at in that range. And I actually did draft him in the Kings Classic this past weekend. So there is the Tennessee Titans. Again, next show is the last of the 32, Washington, the Washington Commanders. And then on Thursday, we'll get things kicked off with some strategy talk, and we're going to wreck things this weekend in our fantasy football drafts. So if you want help there, ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK. For 10% off. If you want to try and win it for free, enter in by reviewing this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Rate the show, and in your review, leave your Twitter handle or your Instagram, and just let me know if it's Instagram if you do. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, and I will catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.